You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your home, hometown home and business security company. Donnie in for Adam and Doran this morning until 10. Harry Callis is here. Intern RJ is here. And as you see, if you are following along on our YouTube stream, Chris Carter from the Post Gazette, he covers the Steelers. He is joining us now. And Chris, a very busy week in Steelers land, a lot to react to. I guess we'll start with the big trade on Monday around 10:30. It comes down. The details trickle out. The Steelers get Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith for Minkah Fitzpatrick, a couple of late-round picks exchanged as well. What was your reaction to that, and how do you feel about the trade a few days later?
I was shocked. I thought Jalen Ramsey was in play potentially, but I wasn't sure that it was going to happen because I was like, they just paid Darius Slay $10 million. They want Joey Porter Jr. to be the guy this year, and wasn't sure that they wanted to give up draft picks. And, you know, having talked to Minkah Fitzpatrick during OTAs and minicamp, I never got the sense that he wanted to leave, that they wanted him to leave. And then all of a sudden, whoop, he's gone. And I was caught off guard by this move entirely. Omar Khan making moves. But I think that it makes sense when you look at what the Steelers want to do. And I broke this down in multiple articles this week for the Post-Gazette. When you look at the advanced statistics, when you look at just analytics and how the Steelers are trying to play, the Steelers need to be a team that can take away short passes more often. The NFL is becoming more and more about the quick pass, the short pass. The average throw is getting shorter and shorter in the NFL every year. Even Patrick Mahomes is throwing shorter passes more regularly. And with that, you need to have guys that can play up at the line of scrimmage as pretty tough covermen. And Minkah Fitzpatrick still could be a deep cover guy, but he was easier to avoid for offenses and quarterbacks because they're happy to take the dink and dunk throws and just keep working that down the field. And so I think what the Steelers said was, look, we appreciate Minkah Fitzpatrick and what he does on the back end, and he does a very good job of protecting the back end, even when he doesn't get all the interceptions. But they want a guy that if they're paying $20+ million to bring the important coverage to the important part of the field. And right now that's in the shorter areas, and that's why you want to go get cornerback. So I think this is a positional value move. And I also think there's a chance that it could work in concert with the Steelers pass rush a lot better, because what's the two things the teams do to try to neutralize TJ Watt? A, they double team him. B, they get the ball out fast. And if you have corners like Porter, Slay, and Ramsey playing the nickel and taking away guys at the line of scrimmage and forcing quarterbacks to hold on to the ball, it could make that task that much harder for opposing offenses. So I think it makes sense. The Steelers need Jalen Ramsey to still play at a high level, but I think he has that in him. I did a film study on him that came out yesterday in the Post-Gazette. I still think he has those skills with him. It'll just be about seeing where he fits in the secondary. I think he's going to be moving around a lot.
The Minkah Fitzpatrick defensive positioning is a really good point. That's what I want to jump to here, Chris. I mean, you watch a ton of tape every single week. Did you like how they were using him last year? I mean, yeah, okay, he saved a lot of touchdowns as that last line of defense, but it is pretty easy to take a guy like that out of the game when he is so far away from the snap of the football.
Yeah, I think that was the struggle that they were having was he was the main guy that they trusted to do that, and they did not have, like, even for how good Deshaun Elliott is, that's not where you want him. You want him playing closer to the line of scrimmage, being a strong safety. And DeMonte KZ was very similar. And also, like, I think the Steelers' cornerback play wasn't good enough across the board to be able to warrant being more aggressive with Minkah Fitzpatrick. Whereas when Minkah Fitzpatrick was having his best years, you had guys like Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson in the secondary. And so the Steelers could say, you know what, we're going to trust those guys to win. Minkah, go roam, go move around here, catch quarterbacks off guard. And that had worked in the past. And listen, I think that if he had stuck around in Pittsburgh, they might have been able to rekindle that. But again, I think the thing is that it's just where the NFL is prioritizing right now. The safety position is just losing its positional value year after year. I mean, how many times, Donnie, have we seen the free agency period come in and we see some really attractive safety players to be had, and they just don't get touched because people are just like, we don't value the safety position. Heck, right now, Justin Simmons is still available. Julian Blackman is still available. Jordan Whitehead is still available. All capable starting safeties in the NFL, and they're just sitting around waiting for a phone call. So I think it's just positional value right now. And did they deploy him right? I think that they kind of had to deploy him with the personnel that they had last year. And I think this was a move to say, hey, you know what? Minkah Fitzpatrick, your times in Pittsburgh were appreciated, but we need to get with the times in the NFL and combat the trends that are going on in the NFL. And that's countering the short passing game more and more, which is why they got Ramsey. And I think, again, I said this earlier in the week, and I'm going to keep saying it. I know that there's a national media perspective that the Steelers are, quote unquote, all in right now. I do not see that, because all in to me means you're trading away draft picks. You're signing contracts where guys are going to be having so many void years for 5 and 6 years, and it's going to tie up future salary cap numbers down the line because you're putting everything all in on this one season. They've done none of that. They have all their draft picks still for 2026. Even the draft picks they swapped with the Jonnu Smith part of the trade were for 2027, and they were just late day three picks. I think this is the Steelers just retooling with what they can, using their resources and being aggressive to find different options. But they are not going all in the sense that they are mortgaging any part of their future, because I think right now they still know this isn't the year where the windows open. This is a year to get the window open if they develop the right part to the team.
Should they call one of those three safeties that you listed?
I think so. I think Julian Blackman will be very interesting with the way that he plays. I think he's still in his mid to late 20s, and he could be a guy that you could say, hey, we need you to get in the back of the defense, communicate, and make sure nobody gets past you. And that'd be fine. And I think that if you had that and he was just a solid player for you, that might be what you're asking for. And look, the Steelers have had success when they've not had Minkah Fitzpatrick on the field. And, you know, they've been able to win games in the past. So now I think it's just a matter of making sure your cornerback play is top-notch. Because not only have you gotten Jalen Ramsey and you've added Darius Slay, you need Joey Porter Jr. to be the guy this year. You need him to be and I think Joey Porter Jr. has shown a lot of good signs. At the start of his route, he is often very good. He presses well. He mirrors well. The problems with Joey Porter Jr. come is when the ball is in the air and all of a sudden, for whatever reason, he doesn't trust his work and he grabs onto the wide receiver and he draws a flag. If he can eliminate just that part from his game, he becomes a very good cornerback. And then you pair that with Ramsey and with an experienced Slay. I mean, both those guys are really experienced. You could have a cornerback situation where opposing wide receivers are having a hard time getting free and getting open right away. And again, if you're forcing more third and longs, because it's important still to stop the run to put them in this spot, but if you're forcing those third and longs, then TJ Watt's going to get another second or two to get to the quarterback. And those are the things that can lead to more sacks, more turnovers, more opportunities.
In a way, Chris, I kind of see the cornerback situation, this all being a good thing for Joey Porter Jr. You know, a lot of people are saying one of the positives about Aaron Rodgers is that he can mentor Will Howard. And even though he's a guy that got picked in round six, like the tutelage of Aaron Rodgers can help him. We hear that all the time. The Steelers have two of the best corners of the late 2010s and into the 2020s on their team. Now, they're not at their physical peak or football peak, but I mean, having those two guys, just the mind that they have for the game, that seems to be only a good thing for Joey Porter Jr. to learn from.
I think so, too. I also think that it's intentional. I think the Steelers are trying to put as much into his development as possible from position coach. I mean, they switched his position coach this year. I also think Gerald Alexander, the new DB's coach, is doing a heck of a job. I think that you're going to see some interesting things with him this year with the Steelers. But I think that also, I mean, heck, remember when he was a rookie, Patrick Peterson was the cornerback across from him. So now you've basically had three different all-pros working with Joey Porter Jr. in the early stages of his career to help him, you know, mature into the pro that he wants to be. I think that's very intentional by Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin. I think that they're trying to say, hey, let's get these guys around. And they still want talent, right? They still want guys that are good and still guys are going to help. But I think it's very intentional to get these guys specifically around Porter so he can learn from them, pick their brain, and kind of watch them operate week in and week out.
Favorite thing about Jonnu Smith and what he can add to this offense?
I think he's going to be very dangerous in the middle parts of the field, and if Aaron Rodgers can unlock that finally for the Steelers' offense, it could create some matchup problems for defenses, especially because if Jonnu Smith's on the field, most likely so is Pat Freiermuth and DK Metcalf. And so if you have that situation going on, if you're running some 12 personnel and you got another receiver on the field, I can see some serious problems for defenses trying to keep up in the middle part of the field with a Jonnu Smith and a Pat Freiermuth. Both are good route running and good catching tight ends. And then you still have DK Metcalf as a deep threat. But I think what's ultimately going to happen, too, is when defenses are trying to take those guys away, because that's going to be a big focal point of the offense, I think there's going to be a lot of plays where Calvin Austin or Roman Wilson, if they just run a simple shallow cross, they're going to get lost in the sauce. I think that there's defense, they're going to be like, we're too busy worrying about these two playmaking tight ends. We got to keep the lid on DK Metcalf. We got to watch out for the run, all these other things that we got to watch out for. And wait a minute, the third and fourth your receivers that they have, those young guys, those speedsters, they just ran across the middle of the field, caught the pass, and now they're off to the races. I think that's where Jonnu Smith can come in, is that he can be part of a bigger picture that gets other people open too. So I think that that's where Jonnu Smith could work along with Arthur Smith in this offense, because I think they do need to be aggressive here in trying to find different ways to open things up for Aaron Rodgers' middle part of the field. They still need to be a running team. They still need to be able to run the ball well. That's going to be the story of the season. It's going to be about this offensive line, if they develop and if they don't. But that certainly can help, is hitting some of those play-action passes, developing those routes, concepts over the middle where you're trusting two tight ends to get to win matchups. I think he can bring that.
Talking to Chris Carter, he covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Chris, do you think there is a real chance they would actually trade T.J. Watt?
It's a very, very low chance. I think that at this point, I'd put it like at 2 to 5%. Like, I think that it would take T.J. Watt being completely unreasonable in negotiations, where he's like, I demand $50 million a year. And I don't think that they do that. I think that they would do like 42, 43, you know, something around that range, so he can beat out Myles Garrett's average. But I don't think this. I don't think that him and the Steelers are that far. The thing I keep coming back to, Donnie, is when people ask me about T.J. Watt, I talked to Alex Highsmith, I talked to Denzel Martin, the position coach, I talked to like so many different people, and they're all like, "Yeah, we talk to T.J. all the time. Like he's you know, there's that's not much of a concern." I also think that when you're looking at how the Steelers are constructed, you don't make this move for Jalen Ramsey unless you're very sure that T.J. Watt's coming back. Because if T.J. Watt doesn't come back, then that pressure that I've been talking about, that, oh, it's going to work so well with that tight, with the short coverage, and they're going to be forcing quarterbacks to hold the ball. If you're missing that guy, that's going to be a problem. I think T.J. Watt is taking this time to be a new dad. I believe his first child was born in March, and so he spent the spring and early months of summer probably just being a new dad. We know that was, you know, they're big on family there, and he's the best defensive player in football in my mind. And so I think that with that, he was kind of like, you know what, I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity and kind of handle some family stuff. I'll see y'all in training camp. Now, if he doesn't show for training camp, that'll be like, okay, what's really going on here? But I think that this will get done.
So last time he had a hold in back in 2021, do you anticipate him missing camp if this continues? And do you think it could go until the eve of week one like it did last time?
I don't know. I think this is something that Ray Fittipaldi and I have talked about a lot on our North Shore Drive podcast. Is this isn't just TJ Watt. Across the league, players are holding out. Like, the hold-in was the thing years ago. Now it seems like across the board, they're like, the hold-in doesn't do what we think it does. It doesn't really put the team on edge. We need to hold out so that they are in a tougher negotiating spot. And so that's where I think this is more about. It's less about TJ Watt and there being a bigger issue. I think it's more so just this is the trend of how agents are telling their players to handle these types of negotiations. So I don't think it's that big a deal yet. But again, if TJ Watt doesn't show for the report day of camp, then we'll be looking at that. Let's say he shows and he does the hold-in thing again, then you kind of know what that is. You know where that's been. I think the Steelers will be happy to get a fresh TJ Watt for the start of the season.
What is Omar Khan's best move? What is Omar Khan's worst move as Steelers GM?
Well, I think there's no doubt his best move is the Chase Claypool trade. I still to this day just don't know how they got the first pick of the second round for Chase Claypool after all the things you saw of Chase Claypool. The Bears were still that willing to do that. That's been very, very interesting to just see how, just to continue to just think about how that's played out. Worst move, that's tough. I guess if I'm looking at like worst moves against things that haven't worked out right, but I mean, they've been getting rid of guys, that need to be gotten rid of. Deontay Johnson, I wasn't so sure about that trade last year. Boy, were they right about that. I mean, with the way that things have played out for him. And there was a part of me that felt the same way about George Pickens, but I'm like, how many times did the Steelers have to prove to us that they know when to get rid of a wide receiver at the exact right time? So I don't know what's his worst move. I mean, right now I'd say, if Broderick Jones doesn't shape up, that would be it, because that's his first pick as a GM, and they traded up to get him in the first round. I do think Broderick Jones shapes up. I think he's getting sharper in practice. But if he doesn't work to pan out, that'll be Omar Khan's worst move.
What grade do you give Omar Khan right now?
I give him a B+. I think he's doing a really good job, and he got this extension yesterday that's going to keep him through the team through the 2028 season at least. I think it's deserved because he is changing so much. Donnie, this is going to be the fifth straight year of a different quarterback starting in week one for the Steelers. Ben was in 21. Mitch Trubisky was 22. Pickett was 23. Fields was 24. And now Rodgers presumably will be 25. So that's five straight years of different quarterbacks, of so much turnover, of different position groups that have gotten different emphasis. And yet the Steelers are still afloat, and they still have a future. They haven't mortgaged that future. They have plenty of cap space in 2026. They have plenty of draft picks coming their way. I think he deserves to be commended. I think this is part of why he got the extension. The core parts of the team are still around. He hasn't gutted the team, and they can still be competitive. But he has also opened the door for the potential of a few right moves being made, and then everything turning up for the Steelers, where if they get their quarterback and they hit on a couple more players and they continue to develop their guys, they could be in a position where their run game's explosive, their offensive line's protecting the quarterback better, the D-line's getting back to stuff in the run, and then you have all these players in key position roles. And then finally, if you have the right quarterback for your offense, you could, that is what could open up the Super Bowl window.
Chris Carter, check out his stuff. He covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Chris, thanks for taking the time, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Donnie. Happy 4th to you.
You too. There we go. Chris Carter. Some great stuff there from him. Check him out with the Post-Gazette. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. You can hit us on the fan text line at that same number. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up, one of my favorite 4th of July traditions, the Nathan's July 4th hot dog eating contest. And folks, the king is back. We'll talk about that coming up next. Fan Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
The Fan. Retirement would be death. I'm doing this thing until the wheels fall off, baby. A quote from one of the all-time great American athletes, Joey Chestnut, who is back in the Nathan's July 4th hot dog eating contest, Callis. This is a big deal. One of my favorite things to watch every 4th of July. Right around noontime, they'll be out there at Coney Island. They'll have a bunch of guys lined up, but you know only one man is going to take home that mustard belt, and that man is Joey Jaws.
Why didn't he do it last year again?
What was some contractual thing, and he had like an endorsement with like a different hot dog. Like it wasn't Nathan's hot dog. It was like another. It might have been like a.
Wasn't it like one of those non-meat, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, he's a 16-time Nathan's hot dog eating champion. He won every single one of them from 07 to 2014. He actually lost in 2015. But then he has won from 2016 to 2023, and he will win again. I will say that with a guarantee.
Yep.
The man is the most dominant eater on the face of the planet. He's the most dominant eater that has ever been on this planet.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't
know. Have you seen some of his other records, Harry? Because every once we get this time of year, I love looking around to seeing the other things that he's done. Because it's not just hot dogs that our pal Joey Chestnut eats.
Oh. 141
hard-boiled eggs in 8 minutes.
Hmm.
45 pulled pork sandwiches in 10 minutes.
What?
50.
Wait, hold on. Are these competitions? Like, these are other competitions that happen?
Yes, he's a professional eater.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
How about wings? You know I love chicken wings, Harry.
105, is it?
182 in 30 minutes.
Jeez.
Pork ribs, almost 14 pounds of them in 12 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine getting 14 pounds in one sitting?
The man is a machine.
Yeah.
He is a machine. Like, yeah, I know it pisses people off when I say he's one of the all-time great American athletes because they're going to say, oh, competitive eating, he's not an athlete. I mean, yeah, it's certainly... It's kind of in like that, like real niche tier of like, okay, it's not a real sport, but I mean, I would put Joey Chestnut up against the best bowler that we've ever seen, and I'll tell you who I think is more impressive. It's this guy. I mean, the stuff that he's able to consume and the speed that he's able to do it, absurd.
Yeah.
Absurd. 14 and a half pounds of boysenberry pie in 8 minutes.
What? Pie.
Pie.
Wow. You know, actually, I have seen pie eating contests before.
14 and a half pounds of burritos in 10 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you, like, why don't they do hot dogs by pound then? Like, why do they measure, like, burritos by pound or pie?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how, like, Major League Eating decides these things.
Yeah.
Because you would think, okay, well, hot dogs, they just do a whole hot dog.
You have to eat the whole hot dog, but like pie, like you'd have to finish a whole pie, right? Or you just, and how do they even calculate like how many pounds you've eaten? Do they weigh you before and after? Or is that,
yeah, that's the thing. It might be like just tough to do.
It's very, I'm very curious about all of it now. I didn't even realize.
He's also not eating the hot dogs that we had to eat last year, if you recall, because Pony decided to be a wise guy like he always is. And make us eat like 3/4 pound hot dogs and make us all look like chumps, because then people are like, oh, these guys only ate 5 or 6 hot dogs, but they were like nearly 1 pound hot dogs.
Yeah, you know, yeah. No,
they were like 3/4 pound.
Our real fans knew. They knew we tried our best. I mean, we went through it.
You know those little like donuts, like the little Hostess donuts?
Yep.
257 of those in 6 minutes. 257 in 6 minutes.
I mean, you got to eat like 4 at a time at that point.
Like in the length of what?
4 in your mouth.
Yeah, the length of what this segment will be, he could eat 257 of those little donuts. The guy is the like, he's just so dominant at what he does. Like, he's the Tom Brady of eating. He's the Tiger Woods of eating.
Do you think, like, the sponsors of these are, like, you know, like, the brands that make these, like, are they proud of this? I guess Nathan's is very proud to sponsor such a competition. Like, you know.
I would be.
I just think, like, you know, it feels like you're abusing the food to just haul that much in such little time.
A lot of hot dogs are going to get slaughtered
later. I guess
later.
The brands are they're proud. I guess so.
How about cherry pie? 17 and a half pounds in 8 minutes.
What's the difference between that and the blueberry one?
Boysenberry.
Poisonberry.
Eggo waffles, 81 in 8 minutes.
What? Eggo waffles feel easy to eat, though. I don't know.
Yeah, they're not like your traditional waffles.
No,
waffles can get heavy.
Yeah.
For sure. 2-foot pizza slice. He ate 6.5 of those in 10 minutes.
2 feet's a lot. A 2-foot-long slice of pizza.
I mean, it's like 15.
This is a whole realm.
Or no, it's 13 feet of pizza. What
did
he consumed.
Did you know this, or did you just research this before the show?
I knew some of these, but there is just like an actual list. Like they have like a website where it has all of his records.
I just don't.
Absurd.
I'm just baffled. I just don't. I didn't realize this was like a whole thing.
Yeah.
This is just a realm of.
The man is unbelievable.
He's, yeah. So he holds the record for all these different
eating
competitions?
Yes, and the hot dog record is 76, which he set in 2021.
Yeah, that's just a lot.
And I know that he's, you know, you could say he's getting up there in age and maybe he's rusty because he wasn't there last year, but man, he's going to do over 70 again today, I think.
You know,
he's going to come back with a vengeance. He's going to say, okay, you know, you guys didn't have me last year, but like, it's going to be like a daddy's home situation.
Would you bet
Here
against,
comes Joey Chestnut.
Would you bet against Tom Brady? No. Joey Chestnut is that guy.
Yeah, I mean, this
the eating competition.
Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest is like Tom Brady on a 4th-quarter drive to win the game. You know what's going to happen, and you can't stop it.
Yeah. It's gross, though, to watch. I will say that.
It is.
It's gross.
It is. And, like, I do not like eating hot dogs.
I went back when we did ours last year, our hot dog eating contest. I went back and looked at myself and I'm like, ew.
Yeah.
I was just
wasn't fun.
No.
Follow us on Twitter. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can follow us there at 93.7 The Fan. Coming up, a couple of producers played a little game the other night. What happened there? We have the guy here to tell us. That happens next on the Fan Morning Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Fan. Oh, and you want to talk about fireworks, baby. We just had some in this room because Dom DiTommaso's in the building and his music just hit. And man, I got to see you and Dom firsthand, in person, live and in living color, Harry Callis. And man, is he on that perch about the Penn State being a Pittsburgh sporting event.
I can't stand him.
He's going to argue with Jack Hillgrove about it for 4 hours. Jack is hosting the midday show. You know, Jack, I mean, for obvious reasons, his grandfather has called Pitt football and basketball for 5 decades.
Since the 70s, if I'm
yeah,
right.
50-plus years. So for obvious reasons, Jack is a diehard Pitt fan. They might as well make that their whole show.
Yeah.
And just try to see if people will call in from 10 until 2.
Dom does love his college sports, I will say that. I mean, my man... The 5-Alarm Marathon took over the 3 a.m. hour that I was supposed to be hosting, and just they talked about stuff for 35 minutes.
Wait, what happened? You were hosting it.
Yeah, I did the 2 o'clock hour, and then you left. Then it was the 3 o'clock hour, so it was the second hour. They started talking about college sports, and I was fine with that, but then 35 minutes went by, and I interrupted to just try to remind them why we were there to donate to the firefighters. And Dom was like, Callis, hold on! And I was like, you've been talking for 35 minutes. I'd just like to remind everybody why we're here. Is that okay? And he was like, oh, yeah.
That's a good job on your end. Now, you played golf with this kid the other day.
Yeah, me and Sean Myers.
Yes, Sean Myers, yourself, Dom DiTommaso. You went out to a local course. You played nine holes. And I'm looking at the scorecard here, and I have a few questions to ask. And listen, I'm not going to be throwing stones, Nick, because I am a horrible golfer.
That's the second time I've been golfing. I'm very proud of myself.
Okay, like I can barely get the ball off the tee. I will say this. My short game, for whatever reason, is actually, like, passable.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone with my buddies a few times, and I'll let them tee off. We're playing a scramble. They can tee off. They'll take care of that stuff. We get close to the green, I'll step in and hit a few shots, and sometimes I end up hitting the best one of the group, funny enough. What happened on the second hole, my man? You took an 11.
Yeah, so, well, they're actually making fun of me because I used a 3-iron to hit, like, what was the first hole, like 100-some yards away?
132, and, nice, yeah, par 3.
And I hit it flawlessly, and they were like, ooh, you know, Gallus surprising and stuff. So I'm really good with the 3-iron to go long distance. It's when I try the driver that I start hooking everything to the right. So, yeah, my first shot of that hole, I sent one into the woods. It was into, like, this mud pit, this little swamp. And I was like, all right, ball's gone. So I lost a stroke. And then, I couldn't drive anymore because I hook everything to the right. I think it's because I have a little bit of a baseball swing, and I tilt myself a little bit inside out. And that's why that happens with the heavy club. So, yeah, that's all. I mean, it was rough. It was no good. And then I couldn't putt it in. Yeah, so Dom was playing. If I could explain, though, a little bit further, too. Dom was playing, you have to get it in the hole. And I know I learned from some golf etiquette from when I asked people that apparently you can get close to the hole and everybody will just be like, you know, you're good. We can move on because we got to keep it moving.
Of course. Of course he would be a stickler about that. Because
Callis, yeah. I paid my money, so we have to get the ball in the hole. No, and we were running late, too. Like, a guy came on a cart and said, guys, you gotta pick it up.
You guys were playing out there.
It was 8:30. We were on hole 5.
Yeah, you're going to get kicked off the course.
Yes. So, so that's what happened there. There was that. So, we had to get the ball in the hole. Also, Dom would not give himself a stroke penalty if he hit the ball out of bounds. And I'm not talking like just a little bit, like off the side. Sometimes you go onto another fairway and you can hit it if nobody's there. I get that. He hit the ball straight into the woods like 3 times, and he couldn't find his ball. And he just set it down and said, "I'm good." Or he re-teed from the beginning.
Interesting. Now, did you guys all get to play by those same rules?
No, I've played fair, and Sean was the same way. Sean said, you know, I'm playing against myself, so I want to, you know, have an accurate score. And I said the same thing. Like, I'm a stickler for rules. Sometimes I'll let little things go, but, like, that's just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, if I hit the ball way too far away, I'll put the ball where, like, as close to that edge as it would have been, but I'll give myself a stroke penalty. You know what I mean? Like, I'll put the ball as close in bounds as to where I hit it out. You know what I mean? But I'll give myself a stroke penalty. So Dom didn't do that. Dom said, no, we don't do it. We don't need to do that.
So wait a minute. This guy is Mr. Oh, I got to see the ball go in the hole, but he can hit the ball 70 yards into the trees and say, oh, no, that's good. We're just going to act like that never happened.
Right. And then a big reason why he had a low score as well is because on hole 7, we were rushing. Like, we were out of time. Like, and Dom wanted to play all 9 holes. I did too. So we were rushing. Dom hooked the ball to the right onto a different fairway, and I did the same thing. But what Dom's solution, my solution was, I'm just going to put the ball as close to where the inbound would be as possible, where the little, you know, barrier is, and then I'll just hit it from there and I'll lose a stroke. Dom took Sean's very good drive and just dropped his ball right next to Sean's and said, I'm good here.
Oh, so he just turned it into like a best ball scenario.
And didn't give himself a penalty.
Quite the interesting bit of context here.
Right, because Sean had a great drive, and Dom was like, no, I just put mine up by Sean's. I'm good.
Then I'm noticing a couple of other things on the scorecard here. Now, from my understanding, you were the guy that wrote in all the scores.
Yeah.
You had the little tiny pencil writing these, and I know it can be hard like to do that on the steering wheel. Hole 5, Dom got a B on the hole. There's not a number there. Is that supposed to be an 8?
It's not a no. It's not supposed to be.
Or is that supposed to be a 13?
It's supposed to be a 3. So,
but you drew a line there on accident.
So we were originally going to skip that hole because it was really short, and I gave everybody a 1, and then I said, "Oh wait, that's not quite fair because it looks like we got a hole in 1." So then I wanted to switch it to like par for the hole, and then I was like, "Well, okay, you know, we don't want to give ourselves par," but then we just decided to play the hole anyway. So originally, everybody, you'll notice everybody has a line in theirs.
Yes.
Because that was originally me saying, all right, everybody gets just a one. Then I was like, no. But then we played the hole, so all the numbers above each one are the score.
Yeah, you were able to turn yourself into a six there, it looks like, and you just added the little dash necessary to make Sean Myers the four.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just looked like a B for Dom. Okay, and there ain't no way that he got an eagle on the eighth hole. You have a two for Dom.
I think, no.
On the eighth hole.
Maybe it was
259 par four.
Oh, no. That was, I'm sorry, it was hole eight. Yeah, that was the one that Sean drove. And then Dom was like, I'll just put my ball there.
He still ain't getting a two on that. It took him at least three strokes to get that baby in the hole, at least.
Sean had a very good drive. And it was pretty close to the hole. And Dom just took that and Dom putted it better. I mean, that's what happened.
Oh, we're finding out quite a few interesting nuggets from this game.
I didn't see, at that point we were rushing and I was just trusting the scores they were giving me. So I don't know exactly how he got there. I was focused on just getting myself to the hole. So, yeah, that's playing golf with Dom for you right there. He was just giving me scores, so I couldn't tell you.
No, I'll be sure to never do that. Somebody who plays by the rules he plays by. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Coming up, let's talk about parades. The place I live now, they go all out. Jason Mackey joins us in just over 10 minutes as well. It's the Fan Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Fan Morning Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're about to have Jason Mackey for a full hour. Jason is here, so now we have two Westminster guys, two Waynesburg guys in the same place. Intern RJ, a Westminster Titan, a current Westminster Titan. Nicholas Harry Callis is letting intern RJ run the board this morning on this 4th of July holiday. Donnie in for Adam and Doran. And we're going to talk to Jason about this later next hour, pretty much to finish things up, because he is from the town that I live in now. I live in that Baldwin-Brentwood area, and that is a place that goes very much all out for the 4th of July. Like, I don't know if I've really ever seen a small town go to the levels that Brentwood does on the 4th of July. Now, Harry, you're from what? You live just down the road here from the studio.
Yeah.
So, like, how into it does this place get for the 4th?
Green Tree doesn't, but there's a couple bordering places. Like, from my house, I can, well, maybe not. I can't remember. I think that there's like a couple bordering places that we can see. And I was thinking, like, can I see downtown? I don't think I can see downtown, but I can definitely hear whenever they do them down there.
I mean, I'm thinking of, like, so I went to Greensburg, Salem, but I'm from Salem Township, which is like the, you know, more country side of things. So I'm thinking of, like, you know, did New Alexandria, where I grew up, ever do anything big? I mean, Crabtree, which is like a couple of minutes down the road, they always have a big, like, 4th of July fireworks thing. Latrobe does. I can't remember if Delmont does anything big, but I'm not talking just fireworks late at night. I'm talking a full-fledged parade, and I'm talking,
oh,
I will occasionally go run on the Brentwood track because it's only a couple of minutes away from my house, and I'm driving down there last Sunday afternoon, and I am just seeing rows and rows of chairs already set out from people. And this is just the norm. Like, it's just the norm. Like, it's that popular of a 4th of July celebration that I feel like I got to get into it one of these years. But as an outsider, I'm almost like worried to get too entrenched into it, Jason. But you were born into it.
Please, Donnie. Please, please imbibe, my friend. You will have a great time. Sorry, I guess I'm kind of butting in here, but the 4th of July in Brentwood, man, is a special time. And Donnie, you understand this. Callis, you've been to Brentwood, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It's one square mile, and we have like seven bars. In high school, I mean, you would just, people had parties along Brownsville Road, and you would show up and watch the parade. I marched in the Brentwood 4th of July parade for years as a high school band geek, believe it or not.
What instrument
did
you play?
Little known fact. A few different things. Drums, saxophone. This is an aside, but like our football team was really cool with being in the band. So we had a bunch of football players in the band. You basically weren't a part of the halftime show, but you would do like the 4th of July parade and other parades.
Hmm.
So we would march in the 4th of July parade and then you finish and, you know, go to whatever party. But it's just a great time, man. We get into it. We're territorial. If somebody says like Cannonsburg has a better 4th of July celebration, Brentwood people will push back on it. We take a lot of pride in our 4th of July, baby.
I mean, it does go all out. I mean, they even got overly excited this year, Jason. I assume you saw the signage that they messed up the 42nd.
Hey, annual. The 42th is a big year, Donnie,
the
42th, all right?
However you want to go with it there. But yeah, 42TH instead of the ND that should be there. I mean, I just can't think of many, at least around me, like we didn't have the full-fledged parade and all day long thing. I mean, people had fireworks, but I mean, Brentwood, it's just like a whole other level up that I'm not used to.
When I think of 4th of July, I don't think of parade. I guess it's just because I've never been around one. I just don't think it's a parade type. I think it's one of those things where you relax and you drink possibly, and then you watch the pretty lights blow up in the air, you know.
For us, it was an all-day event. Like I said, you had the parade, and then various people had parties throughout the afternoon, and you would like hop to different parties. Like, oh, we're going here, we're going there. Some of them might have been even like out of Brentwood, but you'd eventually circle back to Brentwood. And then for the fireworks, everybody went up to Radisson, which is like if you've ever been to Brentwood Park, Donnie, it's the, you know, you're looking at the football field, but way up on the hill,
okay,
is our high school baseball field. And so everybody would meet up there. Like the entire high school would meet up on this baseball field. It would just be filled with people. Some of them would even be sober. You'd probably have fights. It was debauchery. And it was a great time, man. So many memories of being up on Radisson watching fireworks.
Can I inquire more about his musicalness real quick?
Sure.
Were you just a snare or what other?
Bass drum.
Bass drum?
One year playing.
Was it the heavy one or was
the
it
heavy
the only
one? Yeah. Wow. I think it was my freshman year I played bass drum. And I could, like, I can play drums now. I can play a drum set.
Can we have a drum off sometime then? Because I used to play drums too in school.
Let's do it.
I was in Waynesburg University's jazz ensemble.
Really?
I don't know
what?
If you knew that.
I didn't know that.
That, you know,
playing drums?
The baseball.
Little known fact.
I was in our high school jazz band playing guitar, a little bit of drums, saxophone, all of it.
I'll show you videos. I still have some on my computer.
Let's go.
But, I say that because the baseball team, we would all talk about, they'd all complain because they'd take their like paper mache class or something to get their arts credit. And I was like, man, I could do something I'm actually kind of good at. Nice.
And you what, took percussion?
I did percussion ensemble for a year, and I did jazz ensemble for 2 years.
Callous.
Yeah, that's how I got my arts credits at Waynesburg.
What did you play?
Drum set.
Okay. In the ensemble.
I never did marching band because I played football for a couple years in high school, so I just never got into marching band. But, yeah, no, I did mallet percussion a little bit. I know how to play the drum set, the snare drum. I'm very well-versed. I can play the piano a little bit, too.
Nice.
And did you know I wrote some of the music that we use for...
I do.
Do you know I wrote a diss track against the PM team last year?
I do.
There you go. Okay. That's all. Thank you.
I never knew all of the other musical exploits, Harry, but that was something. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. A very nice-looking day for the Independence Day holiday. Clear skies, high of 85. So hopefully you have or know somebody who owns a pool or a boat. I would hit them up very soon if you haven't already. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. Full hour with Jason Mackey next to finish things up on the Fan Morning Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.